You good?
Hi, everyone. It's 4:04. I'm calling to order the Sussex Academy Board of Directors meeting. I'm Chris Moody, Board President. We're just going to go around and do roll call.
Eric Anderson, Head of School.
Sherry Mackberry, Dean of Secondary Campus.
Duncan Smith, Chief Operating Officer.
Tom Heath, Dean of Accountability.
Lauren Wisely, Board Member.
Brandon Grissom, Board Treasurer.
Andrea Rogers, Board Secretary.
Lance Manlove, Board Member.
Chris Schell, Board Member.
Sarah Messina, Teacher Rep.
Jen Donahue, Board Member.
Jen Scott, Board Member.
Jose Jani, Board Member. Could you just introduce yourself, please?
I'm John English, 6th grade social studies teacher. This is my wife, Anita English.
I'm Jessica Love. I'm a 6th grade reading teacher.
Stephanie Sherman, High School Science.
Jenny Couch, High School Science.
Timothy Halter, High School Math.
Thank you. Welcome.
All right, on the agenda next up is approval of minutes. Hopefully everyone's had an opportunity to read the minutes Andrea has sent out. Any questions regarding the minutes, any edits, recommendations? If not, could I have a motion to approve the minutes, please?
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, motion carries. Any public comment? If there is, I have to read something, so I'm just, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah,
if there is public, so there is going to be public, okay. Please know that the Executive Board of Sussex Academy appreciates your input. Members of the board will not respond to public comments made during the board meeting. The board will not hear complaints against personnel or any students in a public board meeting. Any complaint about Sussex Academy, including instruction, discipline, personnel, procedure, policy, or curriculum, should be referred through the proper channels set forth in the Board Policy Manual Section 1102 before it may be presented to the board. If such a complaint is sought to be brought before the board after it has matriculated through the appropriate channels, then the complaint must be made in writing and submitted on the required form contained in the Board Policy Manual Section 1102. The floor is yours.
I know that there's been a lot of discussion amongst the board and amongst parents and about the trimester system, and I just wanted to say from a teacher teaching in the trimester system here, but also having taught in a trimester system in other school districts, that it's amazing as a science teacher to be able to teach in that trimester system, especially because of our AP kids. My AP kids are going to take their exam next Tuesday, and they have had plenty of time to prepare for this exam. Last year I taught it in 48 days. This year I have had all school year to teach it, and the kids took a practice exam yesterday for me. The majority of them are going to score. I don't know, but I will predict that they're going to score really well. Their predictor scores looked great. So as somebody in it, it's working. So I know that you've heard differently from other sources, but.
Yeah, and I would like to say the same thing too. Good job. I teach AP Bio, and even with our, I have my test a week after stuff, and today was the last day that I finished my curriculum. I got through the entire manual of things that I'm supposed to cover, and so today was it. I'm like, this is it, guys, we're done, and now we can review and start planning for test preparation. I'm expecting great things. I mean, we've had great scores in the past, considering I was the first year I taught was in 2020 when it went to a 2-essay question exam. And then last year I taught my entire AP course in a semester in the fall and then had the exam in the spring and didn't get to see those kids again. So it's been great having them. We're like a little family in there. And then also with teaching bio, I will say, having the trimester has also been great because it gives you like a break for and get new kids mixed in. But the most important part is that I get to collaborate with my other teachers that are teaching bio. So I feel like I'm a better teacher this year, and the newer teachers that I have this year that are new to teaching or new to our district are getting up to speed with what it's like here at the Academy. And we've been collaborating like every day. I have tons of emails of stuff like, this is what we're doing this week. So it's been good for our kids. I had a kid that moved from Mrs. Gibbs' class to my class, and it was seamless. Like, we took our tests, we had taken our tests on the same day, so she just came right in and like took off. So it works when it's supposed to work the way it's supposed to, when teachers are doing what they're supposed to be doing. So I am 100% in support of that and the direction that our administration is going with it.
Anyone else?
We don't have trimesters in 6th and 7th grade, but John and I wanted to support some changes that have been taking place with the grading policy for similar reasons. We just absolutely love it as like the entrance way, I guess, to middle school and eventually high school. The 6th graders really need, how do I put this? They need a gate to enter higher level learning, and having them, giving them the ability to do retakes and to turn in things without whatever's happening outside of school, limiting them because they can't turn something in on a certain day. It is not a hindrance to us as teachers. It's really beneficial, and it's beneficial to the kids who don't need it too, because we feel like we no longer need to slow down the learning to reteach something to a certain group and everybody else. This group can retake it and rework on it on their own while the rest of us keep moving. So we have really loved what's going on with the school and the positive vibes and the inclusive vibes for all of our students.
Yes, and again, being sixth grade, having students come really from all different districts and from around the state and the county, it really has been helpful to kind of, again, get them focused and get them, you know, right along the way and ready for seventh grade.
And they're excelling. We see them writing and reading and putting together problems that they could not come anywhere close to at the beginning of the year. We really believe that's because of these changes that have been put in place.
Anyone else? Thank you. I'll turn it over to Eric for the head of school report.
Hi, everybody. I hope everybody had a spring break. I'd take time to know you guys were coming today, but thank you. I know that there has been a lot of questions, and I understand that change is hard and change takes time, and that's why we're still educating kids like we're in the Industrial Revolution, because people are afraid to change. And I'm confident that once we get through the change and we see the results from the change, nobody's going to be looking back. And as the leader, oftentimes in school districts or in school superintendents or principals that take over new schools leave within their first 3 or 4 years when they come in to make changes because they can't handle getting beat up. And then it's a revolving door, and that's what destroys a school or a district. And I'm committed to get beat up and continuing to do this job because I believe in it so much. So I just want to let everyone know, I understand that this is to be expected. This isn't new. This isn't just happening to me. This is happening all over, and I'm sure it's even heightened because of COVID. But one thing I can say is that I'm committed to this school, and I'm committed to our students, and I'm committed to excellence. And that is all that we're doing here. And everybody's not going to agree. Philosophies are different. I understand that. All right? Understand that. I have repeatedly said it, and I've said it to this board. We tell people that this is the direction of the school. There hasn't been anything that's happened in the last 3 years that's not in line with the strategic plan that we developed. It is a roadmap. Before I got here, there was no strategic plan for this school. Everything that we do, there's a rhyme and a reason, and it is in that strategic plan. And as we develop and finalize this new strategic plan, that's how decisions will be made going forward. It's our roadmap, and I believe in it. And it has been a collaborative process, and I'm assuming these people here, these teachers are here because they believe in it too. Because it's not just me, all right? It's not just me determining where we're going, all right? It's been a collaborative process for people who want to participate. And some of the work that we're doing requires a little bit more work. But should we do less for our students because it's harder for us as the people who are employed to do it? And we've transitioned to more equitable grading policies because every student in this school, regardless of where they come from, regardless of what they come with, are entitled to a free and appropriate public education. And we are all better when every student can sit and take a test or go to college with the tools they need to be successful, not just the ones that already arrived here with it. And that's what we're going to continue to do. And I appreciate the board support, but I want to say it on record so people know that we are about excellence, but we're not just for excellence for the few. We're here for excellence for all, and that's what we're going to do. And that's all I want to say about that. I do want to go over, of course, we had spring break, and so there wasn't a lot of activity in the last few weeks since our last board meeting, but we did hold our first honor roll breakfast since COVID. We honored all students that received honor roll in the first and second trimesters on March 28th, and our PTSA catered it, and it was a success. There was quite a bit of students because we were celebrating students in both the first and second trimester, all on the secondary campus. For the last month, we've been doing a course selection, and it's finally complete, and Dr. McBurry and Ms. Little and Ms. Henry did an excellent job with the high school students and the eighth grade students, getting them prepared and answering their questions as they navigated through the course selection process. I'm really excited that next year we'll be running 16 AP courses, and students felt really good with exit interviews, talking to them about the course selection process. An update for our strategic planning. So far I've gotten the work from two committees, subgroups. I've gotten the finished work from the atmosphere and academic subcommittee. This week I'll get the rest from the advising, the athletics, and the activity subcommittees. Once I get those, I'll create them into a plan, and I'll set a date to have a final read with the committee members, and then it'll be presented to the board for a first read in May, and then to be voted on in June. We held a meet and greet with the executive board of the sports boosters with the new athletic director. Matt Keem will begin on May 9th, and when working with the...
What's his name?
Matt Keem.
Oh my God, when did that happen?
That was last week.
You weren't here.
K-E-A-N-E?
Mm-hmm. E-E-N.
What's his story? Can you just give a little...
I'll share it with you.
Okay. I mean, where's he from?
I read the minutes.
It was not in the minutes.
It was because it was HR related, so it was all executive.
Exactly.
Did you miss one meeting?
I couldn't say it out loud because he hadn't told his employer yet, so I had to share it for executive. But so he comes with, he played high school sports in Delaware growing up, football player, track player, baseball player, played baseball in college, and interned for the weight and the conditioning and strength and coaching in college, was a PE teacher, is now an administrator, and as he has been an administrator, he's always oversaw athletics, but he's also strength and conditioning, CrossFit coach, and he's been doing that for years. Currently he is in the Red Clay School District in Brandywine Springs, which is a K-8 school. Before that, he was at Dickinson High School. So he has the K-12 experience as well. But the meet and greet went great with the executive board, and I think he's going to start May 9th to work with Steve for the transition, and I think he's going to hit the ground running. We're planning, no date yet, for a meet and greet with the sports community one night, and then I know Jaina is planning another one in order to try to raise money for the sports campaign. So what we've been doing is we've been trying to build a pipeline, so we're interviewing candidates for all subjects, even if we don't have vacancies, so that we can have a pipeline. If we lose anyone, we have people to go to. Often, we by the time we reach out for somebody to take a job, so now we're just vetting candidates and having them on standby if something comes available. We did have a visit from UD math teacher candidates that came on April 7th, so a bunch of newly finishing graduates are looking for positions, and one is even a Sussex Academy alumni from the middle school. And one's my charter school of Wilmington alumni. So. On the 8th, we had our prom at Baywood. It was a success. It had the largest amount. We may be outgrowing the venue at this time, but it was very nice, and the students had had a great time. And we had no incidents, so except for a few cars.
We had stuck in mud.
A few cars stuck in mud.
Yeah, my son, I think he used his truck and got three or four cars out. So.
we had that was about it.
Other
but
noise.
Other than that, everything.
The girls had boots on.
I don't know. I think the guys just carried them off and got them out of the mud.
On April 13th, we had the school SAT day. As everybody knew, this was the first year that we were doing the SAT digitally. That was the only option that the state provided, and it is funded by the state as it's our high school accountability test. So that was on the 13th. There were a few glitches, but that was to be expected, and there was a few issues with registrations through the state sending things to us. So some students had to test on the makeup day because their tests weren't ordered, but these were issues that were felt around the state. And not everybody, we had a window, so we were one of the first schools that did it. Some did it later, so they were able to fix some of the glitches later down the road. And then we had our spring break from the 14th to the 24th. On the 25th, the Kim and Evans Family Foundation hosted the Sussex Superhero Golf Outing, they raised over $30,000 to give. We were one of the two recipients, so they donated $15,000 to our elementary school for our outdoor classroom, and $15,000 went to Sussex families in need for various things. But we were super appreciative to Dr. Joseph Kim, who supported our school by making us a recipient of the award money, charity money, and Dr. Kim has students that attend Sussex Academy. Today we celebrated Administrative Assistance Day with a luncheon, and next week we will celebrate Teacher Appreciation Week. The PTSA has a week full of surprises for the secondary school, and the PTA over at the elementary school is taking care of them over there. This weekend we have the Wedding Singer, our high school musical, and it is being performed on Friday, April 29th at 7, and we have a matinee on Saturday the 30th at 2 with an evening show at 7. So again, if you haven't seen our theater productions, they are excellent. Be sure to come out and get a ticket and come see.
Both my sons are in it.
It won't disappoint. It does have a parental advisory. I'm watching. Yeah. I'm watching the dress rehearsal tonight just to make sure, but it's PG-13. Next week on Tuesday, we'll be hosting Congresswoman Lisa Blunt Rochester. So she'll visit the secondary campus, pop into some classrooms, and then we'll have a panel with some students that meet and talk with her. Next week is also College Decision Day, where students will make a decision of what college they want to go to. Our students have gotten exceptional acceptances this year with both the University of Pennsylvania and Columbia University included in those. So we're really excited to see where everyone finally commits. Once everybody makes their commitment, we'll do a nice press release And finally, AP and IB exams begin next week. And so if like you're an IB diploma student, you'll be testing for pretty much every day almost for the next 2 to 3 weeks. AP classes, our AP tests are scheduled over the next 2 weeks, and they're in the morning or in the afternoon. So a lot going on in the next few weeks as we approach the end of the school year. And that's all I have. And any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, Duncan, monthly board financial reports.
So there are copies here of the monthly report through the end of March 2022. Also did send it out last week. On the revenue side, we wasn't a whole lot of activity. We did receive an additional $130,000 in the operations as we made some adjustments to staff experience and degree levels to finalize that operations amount, bringing us to a little over close to 9.5 million, 9.471 million in total state funding. The local side, we saw about $60,000 in revenue, mostly coming through the pool and through miscellaneous receipts and the cafeteria. And with federal spending of about $54,000, total receipts through the end of March were $13,377,000, which is already above what we had anticipated for this school year. On the expenditure side, just a few highlights. If you can see, we're running ahead on a few things that were budgeted when the initial budget was proposed last May. Salaries and health insurance are running a little ahead of what was expected. Utilities are up, as you can expect, as energy costs have increased. On the food service line, spending through the end of March was a little over $70,000, mostly because we're selling more food, so we have to buy more food. Is really what that comes down to with the introduction of our a la carte items. Students are buying more.
Duncan, isn't that pass-through, though?
No, that is not. We are not participating in the school lunch program anymore. So all of our expenditures are...
They're true expenditures.
They're true expenditures, yes. So overall, through the end of March, as a school, just under $11 million expended of the original budget. Does anyone have any questions about either revenue or expenditures through the end of March?
Is the solar panel helping us in any way? Did we calculate that piece in?
When you look at the cost of the leases against the energy, I would say the energy increase, cost of energy, right now it's kind of a wash.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a large, we have four systems altogether, three here on this campus and one at the elementary school, and the leases are an expense. Yeah, that we have.
I thought when we projected that, though, it was significant savings.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
No,
your leases, there's no way your leases are equivalent to your savings in solar and energy, unless you guys sign really bad leases.
Yeah.
No, the lease was less than the whole thing is a hedge, right? It's a hedge against rising energy costs.
Yeah.
So if you sign it for 9.5 cents a kilowatt hour and DP&L is charging 14 cents a kilowatt hour, by definition, you're saving 4.5 cents a kilowatt hour. So if it goes up 28 cents, you're still paying 9.5 cents. So that's the hedge. That's the savings.
Well, we could take a look, but we also did inherit a system at the elementary school where the lease was not as favorable. I'm talking about all of our energy combined. Yeah.
That's surprising. Maybe we're undercharging for leases. Are some of them with us?
No, this isn't.
The elementary was not. In fact, there's a, we were made aware that there's a sheriff sale with the system because of the initial owners and the group that bought the system from them. They're having some issues. So it's going to be worked out. It's nothing okay. impacting us, but.
Yeah, it's just surprising. I always thought the leases were way below the energy savings.
Yeah, I would say that is probably true here.
Yeah, this one definitely.
We have the one on the pool.
We did a 20-year projection on it.
And then, the new system out back, but some of the issues at the elementary have kind of balanced the numbers out.
Is the one on the roof here of the pool, is it owned or is it leased? It's owned, right?
That one is owned.
Yeah, so we own that, so we get all the energy from there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you're interested, we can take a look at the leases and some of the numbers.
If there's, and I don't want to belabor this, but if there is a way to get out of the lease at the elementary school, we could replace that with something that's way more financially beneficial.
Okay.
Just tell them to come get their panels. What is the projection, the physical year projection based off of the current, based off the current expenses that we have today? Are we on target to meet budget? Are we going to be over budget?
Based on this initial preliminary that was approved last May, we are above that, but I do have a recommended final budget once we talk about the monthly that is substantially more. It's about $550,000 more in revenue compared to where we thought we would be last May.
Any other questions for Duncan for the month of March, the financial report for March? No other questions. Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second?
I'll second. Jen.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. Approved.
Okay, so moving towards the final FY22 operating budget, this is a handout as well. We made the projections last May based on what we would anticipate moving into the school year. Just keep in mind before this, or when this was proposed, we were not aware of additional ESSER dollars that that came about throughout this school year and some other increases. So the adjustments have been made, and there's a comparison in the handout between what was approved in May versus this draft final. The right-hand column is the draft final. So when you look at the some of the line items, you can see that just on the operations side, we're slightly above what we anticipated. About $41,000 more. Most of the lines in between are roughly what was anticipated because we did know some of those numbers would be the same no matter what. But moving down to the last two items on the state side, there were two grants we were not aware of that we would be receiving. One was a mental health block grant, which is $25,000, and then extra opportunity funding, which wasn't anticipated. So there's an additional 50-some thousand dollars there. So overall, on the state side, we are up about $80,000, $81,000 at $9,473,000. Where the big increase that we're going to see as the school is on the local side, where not only, as we mentioned earlier, with the cafeteria and nutrition services adding a lot of that, the pool being in the black and continuing to grow some of their programs, we've seen more revenue, as well as we've had discussions before about tuition tax. And in that tuition tax, we're anticipating to see an additional $250,000 come in to the school. So overall, on the local side, we are seeing over $400,000 more than what was anticipated. Federal spending, As we look at some of these grants, the COVID grants, the regular Title I, Title II, Title III, those all have start and end dates, which means they don't necessarily have to be spent during this fiscal year, but spreading those out over a 2 or 3 year period. We're looking to spend throughout this year $748,000 in federal money, which brings us to just under $14 million or $13.9 million. As I said, about $550,000 higher than what was anticipated. Adjustments then have been made on the expenditure side, as I've mentioned each month, with increased staff, increased salaries, and health insurance. That has driven those dollar amounts up. And you can see just in salaries and benefits alone, it's a little over $800,000 difference. Energy costs, as I have mentioned, have gone up, as well as the lease to account for the elementary school. Those discussions had happened about the elementary school around the time we were developing this budget, so we added that into the final draft. Where we're seeing some decreases in spending and adjustments, at the time we thought we would need more school buses for this year, and it turned out with between not needing buses and also the unavailability of drivers, our transportation costs are down because we just don't have as many buses as we had expected. I mentioned about food service and our increased costs there. Instructional supplies and technology are lower than was anticipated, mainly because I believe that we have been investing in a lot of tech tools, which is saving us money in other instructional supplies and materials. So we see decreases in those two line items, as well as with building maintenance and the contingency or other expenses. So again, the adjustments on the later side are off balance by the increases in additional staffing.
So the salaries and benefits is mostly from adding new people, not from giving raises higher than we anticipated?
It's three-pronged. It's a combination of new staff, increases, and then people that left were cheaper than people that we brought in.
Okay. The other thing is we haven't done a raise for teachers in 3 years, and we said we would revisit that every 3 years. So it would be time to go back and bring the compensation committee to do that for the teachers, because what the raises they get step increases for your service, but there's been no change to those numbers. And we said we would do that every 3 years. One of the things that we're finding as we're recruiting is that people are taking jobs at other districts because they can pay more. If you're later in your career, you don't mind because you're at the top of the ladder. A couple thousand isn't a big deal. But when you're starting out and you're young, $3,000 to $1,000, $4,000 may make you go to another school. It might be more attractive.
So do you want those changes to be, they would be effective with the July 1 start date?
Mm-hmm.
So we need to get that committee working quickly.
Duncan, do you have payouts, like when someone leaves? I mean, are you paying them out for their leave and everything? Like, are those?
Only 12 months it would be paid out for vacation time.
Yeah, and is that?
That's passed through, right? Like the state? Right?
Yes.
Okay, because I didn't know how much of that is in this number of how many people, I don't know how many people have left. And
well, of 12 months, no, in retirements, no.
It's not significant.
No.
How many people have left?
Well, we have some retirements coming up at the end of this year.
That's it?
Yeah.
What was the tuition tax? What is that?
So there's been a big discussion statewide. When we receive funding from the local districts, with that comes along the average cost per pupil expenditure. So if a student comes from CAPE, we get a certain amount of money. If they come from Seaford, it's a different amount of money.
Right.
But along with that, the argument has been for special education students that there should be additional supports, financial supports provided, because if they stayed in their home district, they would be receiving those supports.
Gotcha.
As students are classified and with different special ed designations, they can be listed as a basic, intense, or complex student in unit count. Those additional funds have not been passed along to charter schools.
Gotcha.
So there's an ongoing debate driven by a lot of the schools upstate, one in particular because of the local district, and they believe they should be receiving more of those funds. So we sent bills out in December to the local districts. The Secretary of Education was to make a decision on those bills, and the districts were to pay the bills, but there's still some back and forth, and there's some legal opinions that are being bounced around on whether or not they owe the charters that money.
There's an ACLU lawsuit, right, encompassing this issue.
It's been driven by districts upstate, yeah.
Yep.
So that equates to like $250,000 of revenue that...
We didn't anticipate initially at the beginning of the year.
We have gotten and received.
We have not gotten it yet.
So it's still not on the books.
Correct.
Is it in?
It is in this.
It's in the revised as a line item that we are expecting to get it.
Correct.
So if we don't get it, then that's going to be a $250,000 decrease.
Yes.
Gotcha. Does the revenue component from the state have an inflationary factor? Like, is annual inflation considered at all when they decide what they're going to give you next year per student?
Oh, per student?
Well, I mean, I would think, you know, when you have inflation, everybody's expenses go up, which means you probably have to give raises to compensate for that, which means you need more revenue. Mm-hmm. We could have 50% inflation and they just give you the same thing next year.
No, I think they work that into the formula, but I don't know exactly how they determine.
Oh, okay, so there's some consideration you just don't...
Yeah.
The state does give increases on the state portion of the salary, and we've passed that through to the employees, so they have gotten those raises when the state has. We haven't done a local raise, though. So.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It's only 2%.
2% is what the state has done the last couple of years.
2% is definitely not what inflation's been.
No.
Yeah. But that's only 2% on the state side. Correct. So that is part of legislation for the final budget for the state. So we wouldn't be able to adjust any salaries until that's approved by June 30th.
Right. Because it could be more than 2%.
Correct.
Because aren't they talking like 5 to 9?
And in past years, they've given every state employee
$1,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are different things that they've done.
Duncan, do you know anything about that mental health block grant? What's that about?
So we received money, and there are restrictions around that. We have dedicated that money towards an additional counselor.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? Hearing none. Do I have a motion to approve Duncan's recommended final FY22 budget?
Uday.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Duncan. Brittany. Before we move on, my apologies, but I need for the record to let everybody know that under new business we are going to add an agenda item, and it will be the 2022-2023 academic calendar. So I just want to put that on record before we go to committee reports. Committee reports. Anyone have? Do you want to share anything on? Oh, so you're good with that. Okay. Anyone else?
I have a grounds update. We finally got SCD approval for the tennis court project. It's been in progress for several months. They've been backed up. So we finally got approval like 2 weeks ago. So the next steps of that are in progress. Site work is probably going to be starting soon after school was over out here. Mm-hmm. And projected that the
contractor is probably going to be starting in August, so it'll be this fall.
Oh,
complete.
Okay. Are you having two quotes or four?
Six.
Ooh. Six.
Six is the minimum you need to really hold a match for women and men at the same time.
Mm.
That's great.
I wanted eight. I got outvoted.
Great, thanks. Anyone else? Any committee updates? Okay. Old business, really none other than just, you know, as I continue to send out reminders about the board scholarship, if you haven't paid, please do so in the very near future, the $200 that we all agreed to previously. New business?
Does, who has the criteria for the board scholarship?
I don't know, Andrew, do you have that?
I don't.
I could probably
find it. Don't you have to meet the criteria of the...
I know, it's the criteria.
Like, yeah, but I don't...
A big score,
yeah.
So...
Right. There's
the best thing exemplifies the...
Who did the decision-making last year?
Well, there was two, right? Isn't there one for the board and then...
There's
the other one for the...
The foundation.
The
foundation is one.
Yeah.
And they're different.
Yeah, they're different.
Who on here did it last year?
I was on the committee and then
so you have something in your email probably that got sent to you.
I think it was you and Heather, right?
Me and Heather, and there was at least, I think there was one or maybe one.
Yeah, I think you guys came back with recommendations.
Denise Reed.
Yeah, Denise.
And then we,
narrowed it down.
We narrowed it down.
Right.
And then we presented the finalists and
yeah.
The board voted.
But yeah, I don't have that.
All right, we'll find there.
Yeah, I'm sure I could go board scholarship and find the emails from
how many, how many people have not paid yet?
I think it's just two, right?
That have not paid?
I think it's what Andy said today.
Oh, I thought.
But we lost two board members.
Right. They have not paid, but so at least two.
I
thought the other day I thought there was a couple more. Maybe there's only two then.
A discussion. Executive.
So, yeah.
Okay.
We can have that discussion.
Okay.
Eric, do you want to talk about the calendar?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sure.
Sorry. Did everybody grab a calendar?
Is that extra?
So this is our standard calendar as far as our school days. Two things I just want to note is that we're required to have 188 teacher days, but there's only 186 on here because we're going to use the other two. What we've found is that we're unable to have meetings during the school day for faculty meetings or department meetings, so we would like to dedicate a meeting a month for them to stay after for an hour, and those hours would add up to the additional 2 days. Typically in school districts, they have collective bargaining agreements and they're just required to stay after for 2 to 3 1-hour meetings a month, or no more than 3 1-hour meetings, but that can be, that's in most collective bargaining agreements. But we decided to add that, and that way people are getting compensated for the extra time, and we didn't have to add two more days at the end of the year, because if we added more, we would go even longer. We're starting with 2 weeks of in-service for teachers in the beginning. We'll incorporate a lot of that time. Teachers will be able to have that time to work on grading policies, syllabus. That gives us teachers can work on them during the summer, but if they come in that week and are able to work on those things, they can submit them to us so that we can review them a week before they even have students. So really a lot that first week is going to be teacher work time, teachers in the building, getting their classroom set up, but we'll also have some formal meetings. But it always feels really rushed for teachers, so we had 2 weeks leading up to the beginning of the year when we came into the COVID year, so we thought that would be beneficial to tackle in some additional time there. One of the other changes that we made in the past, and I sent out a survey to teachers asking them feedback on things for the calendar, and one of the things was that fall break we used to have during the week of elections, but we did that prior to having an elementary school, and the feedback that we got, it's harder for elementary parents to find daycare during that week because typically everybody else is working. So we just gave the days off, for example, that Tuesday's Election Day and that Friday's Veterans Day, so that's off, and we're making that Thursday an asynchronous day because we have to, by law, close for a half day for Returns Day. So parents prefer to have a full day versus a half day because it just makes things more complicated. We did add a couple of asynchronous days, so that would be an asynchronous teacher and service day so that we can count it towards time. I think we have two asynchronous days on there. That way, again, it keeps kids in the mode of if we have snow day, they are still familiar with the asynchronous days. But we've only have two of those on the calendar. The week of Thanksgiving, students would be off all that week. And then we would use that 21st and 22nd for in-service. Typically, elementary school likes to hold conferences, it'll be nearing the end of the first trimester, so secondary teachers are getting their end of trimester exams finalized. It also gives teachers some time to start grading towards the end. At the end of the trimester is the following week, so it builds some time in for that as well. It's been very favorable the 2 weeks at Christmas. People have liked that. It gives our teachers time. We see a lot less teachers calling out in December because it gives them some time to go that week before the holiday to get their shopping done or whatever they need to do. All the board dates are on there. I don't think there's anything else really that is different from this year. Pretty standard. We have some dates. For the end of the year graduation on June 2nd, moving up on June 8th, and June 9th, moving up for grade 8, with the last student day on June 9th. And then we'll end with four in-service / work days for staff at the end of the school year. So 186 days, but with after-school meetings built in, it's 188 days for staff. And for students, it's about 171 days. It's about 30 hours over the required hours, so we have a few snow days and stuff built in there if we didn't want to make a snow day an asynchronous day based on what's required by the state.
Do you get the days back? If there's no snow days and there's no issues and you're 4 days over or whatever, do you give them back or you?
Not typically.
We just let it go.
Yeah.
I just didn't know what it's called.
Because it's just, those are just the minimum hours. A lot of schools do extended school year or extended day and they go well above those hours every year. It's just the minimum. You can decide how many you want as long as it doesn't go over what your teachers are being paid for, unless you're giving them extra compensation.
So the in-service are all for the kids, right?
So the in-service are all off for the kids. There's two that are, if it says in-service and async day, there may be work there, but we're going to use those days typed as reading days for the students to get caught up, make office hours for teachers, things like that, not necessarily assign new work, but give it as a breather day.
So Thanksgiving is the whole week off for the
kids. Yeah, there's no asynchronous days there. I believe the other asynchronous day falls on February 17th. So again, that's the week of the senior trip, or the time of the senior trip. But again, no new work is going to be assigned. There's 2 days built in the year that give kids just like a reading day to get caught up if they need to, and breaks is similar to stuff they do in college.
Any questions for Eric on the calendar? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Great.
Approved. Thank you. If there's no other business, we do have to go into executive session for personnel matters. So can I have a motion to go into executive session?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Good day, second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Great, thank you. Going into exec, and we will not return.
So that was Jeff Urbano and today, Johnny.
Yeah.